You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news. So it's now, brother, can you spare a dime? My God shall supply my needs. Don't have to beg because I am a thief.
Join us for our weekly broadcast, His Abounding Grace, with Minister Vanessa Williams. That's every Tuesday at 7 p.m. On Wednesday afternoons at 1 p.m., join Reverend Gwendolyn Dixon for the Midday Glory Prayer Line. The dial-in number is 641-715-3580. The access code is 732-499. And Wednesday nights at 7 p.m., Challenge to Change, where real transformation begins with you. That's with Pastor Paul Morgan of Chosen Generation Ministries in Richmond, Virginia. On Thursdays, live at 12 noon, join Reverend Pat Randall for Declaring the Finished Work, for an hour of worship, exhortation, and prayer. Reverend Ray and friends are here on Friday nights at 7 p.m. with the Joy of the Lord on Friday Night Joy. Sundays at 7 p.m., join Reverend Ray for Bread of Life, for a word in season. And don't forget our monthly broadcast. First Mondays of every month at 7 p.m., be blessed with the teaching ministry of Apostle Shirley Jones on Lifeline. On third Mondays at 7 p.m., join Evangelist Lewis McElwain for Adoration, a broadcast of worship and ministries on the mission field. Second Saturdays of the month at 10 a.m., join Reverend Curtis, Reverend Novena, and Jordana for Bold and Beautiful, a youth and young adult broadcast setting the world on fire with the love of Jesus. And on fourth Saturdays, Alabaster Box at 7 p.m. with Prophetess Carla Johnson, where she shares a broad range of topics to help believers persevere and overcome. All broadcast times are Eastern Standard Time.
Good evening. This is Prophet Carla Johnson, and you are tuning in to the Alabaster Box Show on When Christians Speak Talk Radio. I am honored to be joined tonight by my husband, Minister Jermaine Johnson, and we want to thank you for tuning in this evening as we will be discussing dealing with past sexual trauma after marriage and also before marriage, because of course, if you all tuned in last time, my husband and I shared with you the topic, is marriage right for you? Because many times when we get into marriage or we think about preparing for marriage, we don't really kind of deal with kind of the issues that you may have to face in your marriage before marriage. So this is kind of just leading right into some of the difficult issues you may have to face once you're in a marriage. So I'm going to go ahead and open us up with a word of prayer, and then we'll go ahead and start the conversation. If you are tuning in and if you have any questions or comments that you want to make, feel free to call in and speak with the host at 646-478-0660, and we'll be honored to take your call. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just give you all the glory, honor, and praise today. We thank you for every listener. We thank you for every family, every home represented, Father God, here and abroad. We just thank you for every heart, Father God, that is on the line, that has just something that is just pressing on them, something that they just need a word from you, Lord Jesus. We just thank you, Father God, that you are sending your ministering angels their way, Father God, that you are speaking to their spirits, that you're speaking into their hearts, Father God, and dealing with their innermost parts and the things that have been just plaguing them, Father God, for many years and some time. We just pray that your healing power goes forth, your delivering power goes forth this evening. We pray that whatever it is that you have to minister, to speak, Father God, that every person will be open to receiving it, that it will not fall on deaf ears. Father God, whatever you have to speak into our lives today, that it will be made manifest, Father God, that no devil in hell can stop what you have started, Father God, the good work that you have done in our lives, Father God. So we just thank you, Father God, because even yet you are manifesting your good work in our lives, Father God. You are manifesting divine healing. You are manifesting deliverance, Father God. We just thank you for wholeness, and we speak wholeness into every person that is on the line, to every family that is represented, Father God. Even if you're listening on behalf of a loved one or a friend, Father God, we just thank you that that person is listening on their behalf, Father God, that they can go back and minister to them in their broken place, Father God. And we just give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise today. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. So I'm just going to go ahead, and I want to thank my husband for joining me again tonight. We really wanted to discuss, because April is Sexual Abuse Awareness Month, and that is something that God has really laid on my heart to speak out about as a survivor of sexual abuse, and to just really focus on ministering to women and children. But there's also men out there who have been abused and hurt and broken. And so I just wanted my husband to join me, because as someone who has myself, who's been a survivor of sexual abuse, of course, my husband has had to deal with those effects and some of the things that I've had to face over the years. And it's not just me facing it. He's also having to deal with that as well. So I just want to thank him for joining me, and so that he can share his perspective as a spouse of someone who's dealt with sexual abuse and the things that he has to deal with on a daily basis. So the first thing that we really want to touch on is pre-marriage, because of course, you know, we're a married couple, but there are some things that every couple has to face before they think about getting married. And the first thing that is very important before you enter marriage, of course, is communication, because you want to be open about some of the things that you struggle with, some of the vices that you may have, some of the hurt that you're still kind of dealing with. And even if you think that you may have dealt with them, it's important to communicate, especially trauma, to your spouse, because any type of trauma is very serious, and sometimes there can be lingering effects, emotional scars that maybe you have not dealt with. So it's very important to have that open line of communication. One thing that, you know, of course, me and my husband have been friends for many years before we got married, so he knew about the sexual abuse before we even started dating. But even when you're dating someone, sometimes you don't want to get into those serious topics because you don't want to scare someone off, or you don't want them to look at you like something's wrong with you. So I just want to talk to my husband, because, you know, if we hadn't have been friends, or, you know, there may be someone out there who is dating someone and maybe you don't want to share with them that you've been abused, or maybe they have shared with their partner that they've been abused. How do you deal with that? I think that's a lot of heavy topic content for someone who's dating. It's like, when's the right time to share? Of course, you don't really want to wait until you're in marriage counseling to sort of share those types of things, but maybe you're not ready to share. So I want my husband maybe to kind of talk about the communication piece, especially coming from the perspective of dealing with someone who's been sexually abused.
I think it's just very important, comfortable with your spouse or your significant other, if you're dating, enough to trust them to be able to open up to them and to tell them what happened to you. And for me, on the other side of like you being sexually abused, I think it's important for people to, if you don't know how to deal with a partner being sexually abused, to do some research and find out some signs and mentally what they may be going through, You know, I mean, the internet is a powerful tool. There's books on it, you know, and just to find out what's the best way for you to approach the situation and to be there for them. You know, if you don't know, learn how to be, you know, patient with them and kind with them and learn the different signs and learn what they may be dealing with mentally as far as just everyday things. You know, when something traumatic happens to you like that, and it doesn't matter what age you are, but if it happens to you when you're younger, you know, you have flashbacks and you have years of buildup. And if you know, that's something that just never goes away. You might have stretches where it's okay and life is going good, but, you know, it's just like anything else. You know, a sexually abused person may have triggers that bring them right back to that abusive stage in their life. So, you know, it's important for you to have communication with your partner and learn what their triggers are, learn what they need from you emotionally, and to understand that everybody deals with that situation differently. So there's a level of patience that you have to have, and you have to learn how to decipher, you know, what's a real problem or what's being masked from the abuse. And what I mean by that is, you know, people act out and they do certain things, or they might have attitudes certain days, or, you know, they just might not be themselves one day. You need to, you know, learn how to know your spouse and know kind of what their triggers are, or, you know, if they're having a bad day, if something happened to them and, you know, they're having a trigger moment, and just to learn how to deal with that. And communication is definitely the first step. Second step is, you know, the abused person needs to get some help. You know, that's something you can't bear by yourself. You can't just carry that on your back day after day and try to bury it and don't talk about it, because it's a volcano and it's just waiting to erupt. You know, it's going to boil over into every aspect of your life, through your relationships, through your work, through your children, you know, the mood swings, the attitudes. You know, if you don't deal with the root of the problem, you know, it's going to get tough. If not immediately, one day, you know, one day it's just going to spill all out. So getting professional help definitely is a tool and another step. And finding a certified counselor or a therapist, and doing that as the person that was abused, you know, it needs to be two different counseling sessions, one for yourself and then another with your significant other, so you guys can both grow and learn from it and, you know, prepare for it. And, you know, that's a big task for people, you know, and it's something that's very important that you need to discuss before marriage, because everybody's not equipped to deal with that type of situation. Everybody's not equipped to deal with that type of emotional stress that comes with being with a partner that's been sexually abused. You know, it's a roller coaster. It's up and down. And, you know, it's good days and bad days. You know, me and my wife have been through a little bit of everything, you know, and it's been a long time, but she's still, you know, has effects from her abuse. And you have to be a very patient person, and you really have to be in tune with God, and you really got to trust God and have God in your foundation of your marriage and your situation. You know, that's one thing. We definitely wouldn't still be married if it wasn't for God, if we both didn't have a spiritual foundation. And, you know, that God, I guess, is the third step in to having a spiritual connection and a spiritual release with God. You know, first communication in your relationship, then professional help and seeking God. And I'm not saying God is last on the list. I'm just saying, you know, it's not any particular order, but those are definitely three important components that you need to get through together with that situation.
Amen. I think one thing that you really hit on was, you know, that communication component, because a lot of times, and you mentioned not keeping things inside. And I know for me, when I was younger, I had a habit of suppressing things, like bad things, because I learned, because that one bad thing happened when I was 7, 8 years old, I started to form a habit of suppressing things I wanted to forget about. And so my husband, he always brings that to my attention, because if it's something that's like bad, I'm like, it's like almost like it never happened. And so instead of me dealing with it, and what he said, it's like a volcano waiting to erupt. So eventually what happened is I suppressed those things for so long that by the time I was in my early 20s, I hadn't really dealt with it. In my younger years, I was like having panic attacks and anxiety attacks, because those things that I had suppressed for so long began to come out in ways that were unfamiliar to me. And so I felt like I was having a heart attack, or I was like going to die. Like I carried so much stress, and that was the way that I learned to cope. And you'll find that someone who's been sexually abused, that's their coping mechanism. It's not that sometimes my husband used to think that certain things that would happen in our marriage were like not important to me, or I didn't care. But it wasn't that I didn't care. It was that that was my way of coping with things. I just suppressed things and pretend like they didn't happen, and I moved on with my life like, oh, okay, it's all good. We'll sweep that under the rug and keep it moving. And that's not the way when you're dealing with a marriage. You can't always do those old habits, because they didn't work for you, and they're definitely not going to work in a marriage. And so I think it's important to, communicate that with your spouse, because they may take it personally and think, well, you don't value this marriage, or you don't value what we've gone through. And that's not the case at all. That's just how you've learned to cope. And so it is important to have someone that you can talk to. You know, I think in the Christian community, a lot of times, and just in general, people have this stigma with going to counseling. And I know for me, counseling, you know, it did help in some respects, but like you said, you have to have that connection with God, because God is a healer, he's a deliverer, and if you don't put all of those pieces in place, you can't be fully restored. But you also can't be afraid to seek the outside help, because a lot of times churches are not equipped to help you the way that you need to be helped. Those are traumatic, life-altering experiences that can affect you mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. And so I think when dealing with someone who's been sexually abused, it's important to have someone on your ministry staff who is licensed to help someone with those types of issues. Because like my husband said, you can have triggers. And if that person is just telling you to just pray it away, then they're not really dealing with the issue. And so it's important that as ministry leaders, that we don't just try to cast a demon out of somebody or tell them to pray it away, because you're dealing with someone's life, because someone who's been sexually abused can be suicidal. They can be mentally unstable. Like, you don't know what this person has gone through or to what extent. So you have to be very sensitive. And just like in a marriage, you don't know what that person's gone through. So you have to be very cautious and sensitive. And like he said, pray for God to show you, because I know me and my husband have a deep spiritual connection, and he knows when I'm just having a bad day because work was crazy, or he knows if it's something deeper than that. And so you have to really be in tune with your spouse. One thing that I mentioned to my husband is that, and he knows this about me, is that I had trust issues, because when you've been abused, you have, especially, you know, if it's a man, you can have issues trusting men. And so, you know, one thing he had pointed out to me early on in our marriage is that, you know, you have issues with trusting men. You don't trust your father. You don't, you know, therefore you don't trust God. You don't trust me. So there was like, I didn't even think about it like that, because as a Christian raised in church, paid in ministry, I thought, well, if I'm pleasing God, if I'm doing everything to please him, I'm doing the right thing. But I was driven by pleasing God and not having a relationship with God. So I didn't have that connection. And so I had a lot of issues trusting God, because of what happened to me. And so I never trusted that someone would protect me. Or even my husband, he would always say, well, you don't trust me. Well, it's not that innately I just don't want to trust him, or I just think he's a bad person because of things he's done, because he's been an amazing person to stick by my side through all the things that I've been through. But at the core, it was deeper than that. And so I think that line of open communication is important for finding out what's the deeper issue with your spouse if they've been sexually abused. Another thing is recognizing the emotional signs of the abused person. One of the things that is kind of been that you may recognize is the anxiety. Like I said, I had panic attacks, I had anxiety or depression, but there may be other things that you may not even get into until after you're married. It could be fear of intimacy, perfectionism, a need to control. Sometimes those things are apparent early on, but then sometimes, you know, if you're waiting for marriage, like we should be, to have sex with your partner, then you may not know that there are some sexual issues there, or there's a fear of being close because of the sexual abuse. The person may also struggle with eating disorders or other types of addictions. They may be self-harming. They may struggle with homosexuality. They may just feel damaged or broken or just hate themselves. And sometimes you can recognize those behaviors early on and try to figure out, I mean, I'm not saying that it's always sexual abuse, but those are some of the main things that you can recognize in a sexually abused person as to where they're emotionally scarred. And at the end of the day, Satan, he doesn't care how we react to sin and sexual abuse or the things that come after it, as long as we don't turn to God. And that is his ultimate goal, is for us to withdraw. And that's pretty much what a lot of us tend to do, is even though I was immersed in church, grew up in church, active in ministry, when things got really bad and I was having anxiety attacks and depression, I started to withdraw. And so it's important to recognize those signs, because the enemy knows that when we find our identity and security and dignity in Christ, then we can live victoriously and there's nothing that he can do to stop us. And so the ultimate goal is to destroy you as the abused person, but then he also can destroy you by attacking your marriage because of those secrets and those struggles that you're facing. And I don't know if my husband wants to expound on the emotional aspect of the abuse and kind of what he had to witness and deal with, of course, being married to me, but he can share some of that.
Before I elaborate on that, it's two things that I wanted to say. The first is I wanted to talk to my fellas out there right now. And if you're dealing with a woman who has been sexually abused and you're in a relationship, maybe you're engaged, and we're talking about pre-marriage right now. If the dialogue opens up and she opens up about her abuse, I need my fellas to take a real good look in the mirror at yourself, because you can have a damaging effect to this woman. And if you're not serious about the relationship, you're not ready to be married, you're not ready to solely be hers, then you need to take a step back and just become a friend. Because if you continue with the relationship and you break her trust, cheating or whatever, you know, this woman has already been through enough through her life. She doesn't need to finally open up and trust someone for you to come in there and completely destroy her all over again. So, you know, I really need my fellas to look inside themselves and really challenge what your motive is with this woman. And the second thing I want to tell them is to take a step back. After you have that conversation, and if you're not married and she opens up, take a step back, because there's no need to rush into marriage. There's no need to rush into this relationship, because once that door is open and she tells you, you know, there needs to be a set path going forward. You guys need to come together and map out a path to walk together going forward. So, you know, she may need to trust in you even more. You guys need to talk about it, counseling, talk to your pastor, and you have become her safety net. So you have to learn how to be her safety net. You have to learn how to deal with her, because I'm pretty sure that even before that point, you were going through things with her emotionally or whatever. You know, she was showing signs of it. You know, all women aren't the same. Some women can mask that, you know, greatly, but if she was showing signs that something else was going on with her, you guys need to take a step back and let's work on it together. And let's try to come up with a plan before you walk down the aisle, and you walk down the aisle and you blow up your marriage and you end up divorced anyway. You know, take a step back, recommit yourself to each other, recommit yourself to your friendship, and map out a plan going forward and get the help that you guys need to solidify your bond together. The second thing I wanted to talk about before I talk about the emotional side of it is I did ministry work for a juvenile detention home a few years back. And we went inside the detention center and we did a play. And my skit was about sexual abuse to boys and men. And I wanted to open up that dialogue because, by my surprise, there was numerous boys in that detention center that had been sexually abused by uncles, stepdads, cousins, brothers, whatever. And I really, it just opened my eyes to a whole other world. I never really just grasped that, or you hear about it here and there, but I didn't realize it was such a big issue that it is. And I want to talk to my fellas. If you have that secret in your closet, that abuse can be a trigger, and it can be a door that opens numerous things in your life. Hostility, homosexuality, you know, if it was by a man, you know, the aspect of you always having to prove your manhood, always having to prove that you're a man, especially if it happened to you when you were adolescent, that can destroy your sexuality. That can destroy your age of becoming a man. So if my fellas out there are dealing with that, you need to be honest with your spouse of what happened to you, and you need to seek help and trust that that woman loves you enough that she's not going to judge you, she's not going to belittle you. If you're walking with a woman of God, then she's going to be strong enough to walk side by side with you through this. But you cannot continue to bury it and hold it inside, because everything that's done in the dark shall come to light. If it's not through your mouth, it could be through your actions or through some other avenue. But you have to get to a point where you trust yourself enough and you trust your significant other enough to open up that dialogue and tell her what happened. Now, on the emotional side of being a spouse dealing with it, since my wife told me, when we were younger, we were growing up, you know, my wife is my best friend way before we got married. And, you know, she told me middle school, high school. And I just wanted to be there for her. You know, I knew then, you know, she just needed a friend. She needed somebody in her corner she could trust. And I always wanted to be that guy that she could trust. No strings attached. Nope, I'm not trying to hurt her. There's no ulterior motive. I'm just here for you when you need somebody to lean on. And you got to have that same mentality when you're in a relationship with somebody who's been abused, because they might take you through the ringer, you know, especially if they haven't dealt with it, if they haven't seeked the help or, you know, the guidance or got a hold of the situation, you know, like they should. It's going to be an emotional roller coaster. And, you got to be strong enough to deal with that. And you got to know yourself. Everybody is not equipped to deal with that situation, you know. And my wife has definitely pressed those limits, you know, has always thought, I was strong enough to deal with whatever comes, because I knew, especially at the moment that we started dating, you know, God told me to go get my wife. You know, God told me, you know, that she needed me. God told me that he made me for her, and he equipped me with everything that she needed, because God sent me to show her that he is real, that he loves her, and he will never forsake her, and he will always have her corner. And it's tough when you have that burden. It's tough when God tells you these things, because you got to live up to them. And she was just so emotionally broken. The panic attacks, mood swings, I mean, just for a long time, you know, everything was unstable. Her thoughts were unstable. You know, she was just all over the place. So, I mean, it just took a lot of prayer, and it took a lot of patience. And it was hard. I'm not going to sit here and say, you know, with God it was easy. And you know, it was tough, man. I mean, she took me to the point of definitely challenging my faith with God, and asking God, you know, I know what you said, but I'm ready to throw in the towel. This is not worth it. But the love that he put inside of me for her was so great. I just could never turn my back on her. I could never leave her. That wasn't my mission, you know. So you definitely have to know God, because you're going to have to lean on him a lot. You're going to have to know God intimately, you know, not just going to church every other Sunday, or, you know, when you want to only on Easter and praying every now and again. Like, you're going to have to be intimate with God to get through that thing on both sides. If you're abused and if you're a spouse of the abuser, you know, you got to really be in your prayer closet. You got to really be meditating. You got to really know who God is and let that Holy Spirit fill you, because that Holy Spirit has to lead you in that walk. I don't know, Carly, you got anything to say?
I was just trying to post everything that you're saying, because he said a lot of really important things that a lot of people need to hear, men, but also women, because you know, if you have to understand that not everybody has been abused. And so, and some people, you know, unfortunately, a lot of people know an abused person, but they don't really know how to deal with the person who's been abused. Because I know for me and my family, when I came out about being sexually abused, it was almost like everybody came out the woodwork, friends, family members, saying that they were too sexually abused. And so I just feel like it's something that is really not talked about, and it's kind of swept under the rug that people just don't want to discuss. Just like I said, we depress things, or we just, because the person who was the abuser may have been an incest situation, could have been a family member, it could have been a family friend. It's like people don't want to come out and share their truth. They don't want to break their silence out of fear of what people will believe or not believe. And so I think it's important that in families that we have these conversations, because then more people will understand the effects. We can look at people in our family and think, oh my God, that person is so crazy, like we don't even fool with them. But they're struggling, they're in pain, they're hurting. And so we have to be more sensitive to the things like that. But when you don't know, you can't help that person. And so I think it's important that we open this conversation, because there's many generations of women and men who suffer in silence and who never share their stories. And I don't want to be that parent that my daughter comes to me one day and says, well, Mom, I heard one of my friends was this, or, you know, something happened to me, because she's going to know my story. And I think it's important to find the right time to open the dialogue. Of course, when your children are young, you have those conversations and you make sure that they know, you know, that they need to come to you and they can talk to you about anything, and you never let anyone touch you. But I think you can't keep those types of secrets from your family, because it's important that they know, you know, why you are the way you are, why you think the way you think, why maybe you have trust issues or you're struggling. Or, you know, why are you going through depression or anxiety? Your life looks great. Why are you struggling? But people don't understand that there is a struggle behind the facade. And, you know, for years, you know, I thought that I had to live up to everybody's expectations and I had to be perfect. And, you know, even in ministry, to an extent, a lot of people feel like, well, I have to have this certain image of myself. I can't let people know what my struggles are. But the truth is, everybody has something that they struggle with. And it's okay, because I want to be very transparent about my struggles and some of the things that I've gone through, because my life is not perfect, but I know that God is able, and I know that He's still working on me, and I know I've come a long way, because there were times when early on when I would minister to people about being abused, I couldn't really tell my story without crying. And then I look at the strength that God has given me and the divine fortitude He's given me to be able to stand before people and to share my story, and that there was nothing to be ashamed of. And so I think that it was important to me to have people in my life like my husband, who was my best friend and is my best friend. But when we were younger, to have that person that I could share with who didn't judge me or didn't look at me crazy. I think a lot of times when you tell someone, especially someone who really cares about you, in the beginning it can be like shocking and hurtful, heartbreaking, because they never want to see a person that they love going through something like that, and they can't fathom it. But I think, and I could tell, like when I first told my husband when we were younger, that it was, I mean, it's, of course, I'm sure he knew other people who had been abused, but it's just, you never want to think that the person that you're close to has gone through something like that. So you also, as an abused person, have to give the people that you love time to kind of deal with what you're telling them, let them kind of process it, and don't be offended if they, like, are quiet or if they're just not really sure how to deal with you or interact with you, because that's normal. But I think it's important to have that open communication with people that you can trust, and making sure that, you know, as the person who's dealing with the abuse, that you're responding sensitively to the situation. They may not tell you all the details up front. Maybe they're not comfortable sharing the details, and that's okay. Maybe one day that they'll get to that point, but just be sensitive to that, because, you know, like my husband said, some of those details can be triggers. You know, there's times like where I could be watching something on TV and have a trigger, or like a certain something as simple as a smell or a sound or a touch can trigger a memory. And so it's important that you're really sensitive to that, because not everything needs to be shared up front, but you do want to be open and honest with the person that you're going to potentially marry. My husband wants to kind of expound on any of that, especially about from a man's perspective, as far as how much the person shares when, you know, because I think sometimes people think they get offended when people don't share all the details. But I think it's very important to be sensitive to that, because my husband, this was years ago when I told him, and I don't even really talk about, I recently we had a conversation about it because we knew that we were going to be talking about it on the air. So, like, I think just kind of hearing that, you know, he just kind of stopped and gave me a hug and just, like, I know my husband can feel my pain, but I don't really talk about the details often. But I think it's important that you share some of what you went through with spouse, so they kind of can get a glimpse into the traumatic experience that you had and what kind of things that you're dealing with on an emotional level.
I think everybody just has, as far as the details, you just got to tell them when you're ready to. You know, you can't force somebody to tell you the details and relive that before they're ready to. You know, I mean, it's hard enough just saying that you were abused, but, you know, the details, they come when they're ready. So, you know, if you're the significant other, you know, you just need to learn how to let that person tell you with time and whenever they can, you know, whenever they feel open enough, if they ever feel open enough to tell you the detail, you know, that's a hard thing to swallow and a hard thing to talk about. Carla, I don't know if you're going to go into
I want to talk about, I'm sorry, our kids are kind of doing their own thing around here. So basically, we talked about pre-marriage. One thing we really wanted to hit on was after marriage, but we wanted to talk about pre-marriage first because there's people out there every day dating and who want to be married. But a lot of times, like my husband said, you're out here randomly dating people and maybe you don't have a desire to be married, but just be sensitive to who you're dating and know them. You know, you're potentially sleeping with someone who you have no desire to marry. You have no interest in spending the rest of your life with. And this person is carrying these emotional soul ties, physical ties to this other person who's potentially abused them. Or because a lot of times sexually abused people can be promiscuous because of a lot of the things that they're opened up to, especially as children. There's a lot of spirits and things that they struggle with as children when you're opened up to sexual things before you're ready. And so it's important that as a man or a woman who's dealing with a sexually abused person, that you're not entering into sexual relations lightly. Like my husband said, know that this is somebody that you want to spend your life with. Know who you're potentially laying down with. And that's why it's so important that you just evaluate, what do you want out of life? What are your goals? What's your purpose for connecting with this person? Do you even feel a connection with this person? Do you sense that there's something off about that person? And just really have a conversation, because you don't know what spirits you're connecting with. You don't know what type of soul ties you're dealing with. And now you're mingling with this person spiritually, and now that can come back on you. And so you don't want to enter into any type of relationship lightly without fully knowing and asking God just for revelation about that person and about what their, like, spiritual struggles are, emotional struggles are. I just wanted to say that, because we're talking about pre-marriage, but there may be people who have no desire to be married. Maybe you're at a phase in your life where you just want to have fun, hang out, date. And we're in a generation where so many people are just out here randomly, casually hooking up. And there's so many hurting people. And it becomes a cycle and a pattern. And so just be sensitive to that and be cautious of that. And I just felt led to say that because I think we are really in a time where people just don't care. We're, aside from sexual abuse, we're just doing a lot of different things out here, just all willy-nilly and really are the after effects. And then, like you said, it creates more harm down the road than good. So as far as marriage and dealing with it in a marriage, one of the things that we wanted to really hit on is the communication piece again. Because now you're in a marriage and you're dealing with a sexually abused person. Communication-wise, it's important to open up to your spouse about what your triggers are. It could be a certain way that they touch you when you're in the bedroom. I mean, people don't think about that, especially, I think for me and my husband, we didn't wait till marriage. We were with other people prior to marriage. When you have been sexually abused and you've kind of used that as a way to cope or to find love or to seek validation or whatever the situation, when you're in a marriage, now it's just you and that person that you're dealing with for the rest of your life. And you think, okay, well, before you were just casually or even in a relationship messing with someone, but now you're in a marriage. And you're kind of like, I don't want to use the word stuck, but you really are kind of just stuck to deal with yourself and to deal with that person. You can't just walk away. I mean, you can, but most people don't just walk away after something happens and say, okay, I'm done. Like, as a sexually abused person, you have to figure out, okay, I got to communicate to my spouse. You know, before I was just out here doing me and I could walk away and it was like no sweat off my back. But now you're in a marriage and you're dealing with someone. You're dealing with, I mean, this is deeper because you have this spiritual connection. You promised that you would be with this person for life, for better, for worse. You've created a family together. You know, you're building a life together. So it's not as easy to just walk away. So for us in our marriage, we choose to stay and work through our issues. And it, like you said, it hasn't been an easy road, but we deal with it. And I'm just speaking just in general for people who now they're in a marriage because they're used to dealing with random people, and you are afraid to communicate to your spouse your likes and dislikes. And a lot of times when you have dislikes, it's because there's something that's triggering a memory. And many times you don't want to say that. And I know for me, it's been few and far between, but there would be times where a certain touch would like trigger a memory. And it's like, I can remember like when I was a child, and hopefully this, I don't want to trigger anything for anyone. So of course I always have to do a disclaimer. I may go into like what happened to me as a child, and if anyone's listening who may have a trigger because of that, they may not want to listen. But actually abused, my abuser would come into my bedroom at night. It was a boyfriend my mom had at the time that stayed with us. And I would pretend I was asleep because, like, eventually I caught on to, okay, he's coming in and this is going to happen, and I'll just play sleep and then he'll go away like nothing happened. And so there would be like a certain way he would touch me, and it would just, of course, you feel disgusted and you feel ashamed. But I can think of times where maybe my husband may have touched me a certain way, and then I felt like I was withdrawn. And so when you're a sexually abused person, you want to communicate those things to your spouse, because then it comes off like, I don't want you, or I have no interest in you, or I have no desire for you. And then that person's getting a mixed message, like, well, you're not attracted to me, or you don't want me. But that's not the case. You want to communicate those things to your spouse, because that's not it at all. It could just be that one moment, and now something is off. Now you're thinking your spouse is just out here doing whatever, acting crazy, but it's really just that one time or whatever that triggered a memory. And so you have to be really, as an abused person, don't play, and I'm going to say this because I feel like you can't play the victim all the time. You have to really take ownership and take control of the situation and take your life back and say, I'm not going to allow this person who hurt me to be able to have this control over me for the rest of my life. Take your life back. And so that, if that means being vulnerable and being exposed, you have to trust your spouse enough to be able to come to them, even in the most sensitive situations, so that they have understanding, so that they can be more sensitive to your needs and be able to help you and know how to help you, because God may have already shown them, or maybe they will know how to pray for you specifically and how to deal with you. Maybe they will say, well, we need to go to counseling or something, especially if maybe you haven't had a trigger in a long time, but now all of a sudden you're having all these trigger moments, and he feels like something is coming back up. So it's important to have that open communication with your spouse, because you never know what that person is thinking about you or what you may be feeling. They may take it the wrong way. And so just be open as the abused person. It's hard sometimes. You don't always have to go into details about what happened. But I think it's important to be able to communicate, no, this is not because of you. I just had a trigger moment, and I just need a moment. And I think most people in general are understanding about things like that, especially if you communicate and vocalize what you're feeling and not try to brush it off like, no, I just got a headache, or I'm tired, or, you know, just whatever, because eventually that's going to cause more issues in your marriage. And a lot of people who are married to sexually abused people complain about sexual issues, intimacy issues in their marriage. So, Jermaine, do you have anything you want to share about that?
Not really. I mean,
and I'm sorry, I just went off on a whole tangent. But
I mean, this is your topic. This is your show. I mean, it's about abuse, so that's okay. Not really. You know, I mean, as far as the person dealing with the significant other or the spouse, you know, you gotta be sympathetic and you gotta be patient. And it's hard, you know, but if you're in the marriage for the right reasons and you're walking with God, then you know love is patient, love is kind. You know love is sacrifice. It's not always about yourself. So, I mean, a lot of times in marriage, people don't sacrifice enough. Everybody wants to point the finger at me. And definitely when you're dealing with somebody who's been sexually abused, man, you can't point the finger at yourself, man. You got to look after them and make sure everything is right. And through prayer and communication and time, you know, time heals everything. Love heals everything. You know, eventually it'll get better. You know, you can't give up. You know, marriage is not for the faint of heart, especially if you're dealing with somebody who's been sexually abused. So, you know, sex in general, you know, it should be communication with your spouse. You know, and I think it has to be a little more when you're dealing with somebody who's been sexually abused, because you got to know them triggers and you gotta be respectful if the trigger moments pop up. And not always make it about yourself. That's about all I got to add about it.
And like you said, I think when he said love is unconditional, you know, a lot of times people struggle in marriage because they put conditions on their love for their spouse. And they'll say, well, you know, I love you, and we take our vows and we say till death do us part. But then we forget to add, well, unless you lose your job, or unless you get sick. Like, we don't say those things, but the Bible talks about love is unconditional. 1 Corinthians 13 talks about love is patient, love is kind. You know, it talks about everything that love is, but conditions on their love. And when you're dealing with traumatic experiences in your marriage, and it may not be sexual abuse, there may be other things that you're dealing with, but you cannot put conditions, because that's why a lot of people, it's so easy to just walk away from a marriage. Because, like he said, not everybody is equipped to deal with sexual trauma after they get married, dealing with a sexually abused person, because there's so much that comes with that. And love is not ignoring your spouse's brokenness. You know, a lot of times we just say, well, you know, that happened when you were a kid, or this happened when you were a teenager, like it's been 20 something years, like you should be over this by now. You know, you cannot ignore their brokenness, and it's not healthy for that person or for yourself to just pretend like it didn't happen, because now you're both suffering in silence. And it's important to have those conversations with each other. One thing that I was reading in this book by John Eldridge called Love and War, and it talks about marriage, and it says, you would not ask someone with a broken arm to swim the English Channel, so you cannot demand that the broken live as if they were whole. You cannot demand, or discipline is not the issue. Apply discipline and you'll make it worse. What is needed is healing. And so a lot of times, you know, in the body of Christ, we tell people, well, you know, you just need to be more disciplined. If you read your word, if you pray, if you fast, if you do all these things, if you walk around the building 7 times, then all your problems will go away. Like, we want to do all this stuff and say, well, that's the answer. But it's not, because you fasted and you've prayed and you've walked around the building 7 times, and you're still as broken as you were when you started. And what's important is that the person finds healing and restoration, and they have a great support system. I remember when I was younger, I, of course, was counseling at a real professional counseling place. And my psychiatrist, my psychologist, they were great. I did group counseling with other girls my age when I was a teenager. I did counseling with my mother. And I did individual counseling. And you have to do the work. It's not a quick fix. It's a process. And sometimes it's a lifelong process. Just like when you're addicted to something. You know, it's not just, okay, I'm magically, you know, God can deliver people. And I'm not saying that you can't be delivered and never return back. But I think we put unrealistic expectations on people when we say, okay, well, just go down to the altar, let them put some oil on you and cast out that demon and you're good. It doesn't work like that. When someone's been dealing with a traumatic experience, there are triggers and there can be, it's a lifelong process. You may be good, like my husband said, you might be good for years and there could be something that sets you back. And so, you know, I do want to say that counseling at church, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not against it. I know my experience, I had counseling with one minister and they pretty much just gave me a book. Mind you, I'm 13 years old. You're giving me a book on deliverance that adults study and expecting me to read that book and move on with my life. And then there was another minister who really did kind of say he really dealt with the self-esteem issues and a lot of the other issues that were the effect of the abuse. And I have to say that I will always appreciate him for that, because that was like the only person in my life who really dealt with the hurt and the pain. And instead of just giving me a book and saying, quick, you need some deliverance, here's this book, like, we can't be throwing people to the wolves and like to figure this stuff out. It's a process and people are really hurting. People need help. I mean, there's so many young people in schools and churches who've been abused, who are suffering in silence. And the pain is like nothing you will ever imagine. Like nobody, I can't tell you what level of pain that other person has experienced, or I can't tell you how minute it is because I don't know. I didn't go through that, but I know what I felt and I know the pain that I've experienced. And I know that when you're in that situation and when you're dealing with the aftermath of it, you feel so broken, like you just don't want to live anymore. Like you feel like your whole world is shattered. And so for someone to just throw a book at you or to tell you you need some deliverance or just pray it away, to me, is there's no excuse for that. And so we have to be really sensitive in the body of Christ to how we approach and deal with people, because these are people's lives. People have taken their lives for less, and it is insulting to me to do that to someone. And to me, that is not very godly, because God is very compassionate, and there's even scriptures about how we treat children and how we love one another. And for you to do someone like that, you're just repeating that cycle of abuse, I believe, and especially in the church, and being very dismissive about it, and people are truly hurting. And so we say that the church is a place for the hurt, the hospital for the sick, and so we have to treat it as such and be very sensitive in the spirit, because a lot of people are lacking discernment, they're lacking wisdom, and they're lacking that sensitivity in the spirit, and they're just saying what is on their mind or what they, you know, feel led to say, and the spirit is not in it at all. And so I just want to say, really in closing, that we just have to be more supportive, you know, and if you're a couple who is struggling with that, find someone that you can trust. You know, I believe that my husband has been such a great support to me in my life and throughout my childhood into adulthood when dealing with this. I know that if there's something I've gotten, you know, I didn't always come to him and say, well, this is a struggle for me, but I've gotten more comfortable with it. And so one thing that we talked about was, you know, when I was younger, I really struggled with depression. And so I went to counseling probably when I was, well, of course, when I was 13, but when I was in my early 20s, because, like I said, I had panic attacks. And so they put me on medication. And one thing I was telling my husband this week is, in the body of Christ, there is such a stigma about people being on anxiety medication or antidepressants. We make people feel guilty for needing help. And so, in being transparent, After I was 22, 21, I hadn't been on, like, any type of antidepressant medication, although over the years, of course, my husband can tell you, I've probably shown signs that I probably needed some help. But, of course, I also allowed that stigma to say, okay, nope, I'm going to pray about it. I'm going to get delivered. I don't need no medicine. God's going to fix it. And so I think it's unrealistic to make people feel bad for getting help. After I had my hysterectomy because of some female issues I was having last summer, and, of course, I had hormonal issues afterwards. Everything didn't get back to normal. So my doctor was like, well, we'll just put you on something to help kind of level you out so that you don't so you can take care of your children and be a wife and go to work and do ministry and everything that you need to do. And so he's like, this is not long term. This is just until your hormones and everything levels out. Well, because I had experienced the struggle for so many years, I was like, you know what, do whatever you got to do. You're a doctor, you know more than me. I had a surgery, major surgery. I'll do what I need to do for my mental health, because I can't continue to function in society and in life and my family if I'm feeling the effects of my craziness because I'm hormonal or imbalanced or whatever I'm dealing with. It is okay to get help. So don't ever let anyone make you feel bad if you or your spouse have to seek help and get medical treatment, because at the end of the day, they don't have to live with you. They don't have to sleep with you. They don't have to go through what you're going through. And so I think it's important that you take care of you, take care of yourself, being a part of 30 different ministries and still trying to feel validated and making yourself feel like you're doing the Lord's work and everything's good and you're suffering in silence. That's not ministry. You're just a broken person trying to help broken people, and it's not going to be effective. And so I just want to say, you know, if there's anybody out there who is struggling, a marriage, a couple, or anyone who's suffering in silence, maybe you don't know how to open up to your spouse. Maybe you don't, you're a spouse who found out your spouse was abused and you don't know how to deal with it. Talk to someone. You know, if we can agree with prayer, we're always here. There's other ministers a part of the ministry, When Christians Speak, Talk Radio. There's always someone online. You can reach out and connect you to someone where you can get help locally. Don't suffer alone. Don't suffer silently. God has something greater for you. What the enemy tried to use to kill you will not destroy you. I promise you, because there's more greater on the other side of this. This was just something that the enemy used to try to destroy you. And so it's important to keep your eyes focused on God and not focused on the problem, and just have a great support system around you. If you're a parent who is dealing with your child who's been sexually abused, reach out. My mother and I are trying to launch a nonprofit. It's called A Light for Her Soul. You can find it on Facebook. Again, it's called A Light for Her Soul, and it's basically a nonprofit organization that we are seeking to advocate and educate and empower women who've been sexually abused. And so my mother has, you know, been sexually abused. She has dealt with her daughter being sexually abused. And so we have to break this cycle, this generational curse that has gone on in many generations. And we have to talk to our children. We need to talk in our families, in our church families, and we need to be more vocal about it in our communities, because there's a lot of people suffering in silence. And I wanted to ask my husband, did he want to say anything in close?
No, you pretty much taking care of everything.
Yeah, I kind of took over.
All right. I guess I'd like to close in prayer.
All right.
Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for another wonderful day, Lord Jesus. I want to thank you for my beautiful wife, Lord Jesus, and our holy union, Lord Jesus. I want to thank you for using our voices to touch people tonight, Lord Jesus. I want to pray for anybody out there who is hurting, confused, lost, suffering, wallowing in that pit of sexual abuse, Lord. whether it be male or female, Lord Jesus. I just pray that your spirit comes right now, Lord Jesus, and touches them, Lord. Let them feel your love, Lord Jesus. Show them your light, Lord Jesus. Be with them tonight, Lord Jesus. Wrap your arms around them, Lord Jesus, and let them know, Father, that tomorrow is a new day, that they can go on, that you hear their cries, that you are here for them, Lord Jesus. Lord, just lead their souls, Lord Jesus. Lead their minds into the direction where they can get help, Lord Jesus. Place people in their life, Lord, that they can trust, Lord Jesus, and that they can get a grip, a hold of that abuse, Lord Jesus, that horrible, terrible situation, Lord Jesus. Give them trust and love and faith in people again, Lord Jesus. Restore their bodies, their minds, their hearts, their spirit, Lord Jesus. I pray for, Lord Jesus, every married couple that is going through what we are going through, Lord Jesus, dealing with a spouse that has been sexually abused, Lord Jesus, has been raped, Lord Jesus. I pray for their matrimony, Lord Jesus, that you keep them together, Lord Jesus, that you equip each spouse with what they need, Lord Jesus, to succeed, Lord Jesus, and not only to succeed, Lord Jesus, but to excel, Lord Jesus, to give back, Lord Jesus, and to be a testimony, Lord Jesus, and to be a light for other people that may need that, Lord Jesus. Right now, Father, I just want to pray for each and every individual out there that may not be going through sexual abuse, Lord Jesus, but they're on their last leg, Lord Jesus. They're on their knees right now, Lord Jesus, crying out to you, Lord Jesus, not knowing, Lord Jesus, if they can make it another night, Father, that they don't know how they're going to get their light bills paid, Lord Jesus. They don't know when their next meal is going to be, Lord Jesus. They don't know, Lord, how they are going to get over that broken heart, Lord Jesus, or how they get over that family death, Lord Jesus, or that, Lord, whatever situation that they are dealing with, Father, whatever pain that they're dealing with, Lord Jesus, I just pray that your spirit comes down right now, Father, and touches them, Lord Jesus. Touch them in their heart, Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, cover them, Lord Jesus. Send your angels down upon them, Lord Jesus, and just fill them with love. Fill them with your compassion. Fill them with your love, Father. Lord, I just want to thank you, Father, for being who you are, for being almighty. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus, for being infinite, Lord Jesus. There is no problem that is greater than you, Lord Jesus. And for people that don't know who you are, Lord Jesus, I pray that you show them your light right now. I pray that you show them your spirit, Lord Jesus, that you touch them, Lord Jesus, and you show them the greatness of God Almighty, Father. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. I thank you, Lord Jesus, and I pray, Lord, that everybody has a marvelous week ahead, Lord Jesus, that everybody stays safe, Lord Jesus, and they draw closer to you, Lord. And these things we ask in your name, Father. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. I just want to thank everybody for tuning in. And again, do not suffer in silence. If you need help, feel free to reach out to us. You can email me at prophetcarla@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Facebook. Our Facebook page is called A Light for Her Soul, and again, it's shedding light on sexual abuse. And I just want to close and say that marriage is a sanctuary of the heart. You have been entrusted with the heart of another person, and whatever else is your life's greatest mission, loving and defending this heart is going to be a part of your greatest quest. And that may be the hardest thing that we have to do, but in marriage, your greatest ministry is to your spouse. And so I just want to thank you all for tuning in. And once again, you know, continue to share the broadcast, and we appreciate you listening. God bless.
Amen. Well, everyone, you've been listening to the Alabaster Box broadcast with Prophet Carla Johnson. Their guest today, co-host today, has been Minister Jermaine Johnson. Their topic has been doing a series on marriage series, and this one particularly is dealing with past sexual trauma in marriage. We thank you for listening to the broadcast. We pray that you will again share this broadcast with others. Amen. And we pray that you will be blessed. This is a much needed meeting in the body of Christ. We thank Prophet Carla and Minister Jermaine again. God bless you both. Amen.
Listen to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio on Blog Talk Radio, iHeartRadio, Spreaker.com. All of our broadcasts are available as podcasts through SoundCloud, YouTube, iTunes, Blueberry.com, Zoom.com, Stitcher.com, Lisbon.com, and BlogTalkRadio.com. To listen to our broadcast by phone, dial 646-478-0660. Again, that number is 646-478-0660. Go visit and like our Facebook page, When Christians Speak Talk Radio. Also, be sure to check out Christians Against Suicide and Depression. It's a page dedicated to sharing God's love, encouragement, and hope. There are prayer warriors standing by to receive prayer requests, doing intercession for those under attack by the lie and deception of the devil. We know that the devil came to steal, kill, and destroy, but praise God, Jesus came to set the captives free. You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news.
Join us for our weekly broadcast, His Abounding Grace, with Minister Vanessa Williams. That's every Tuesday at 7 p.m. On Wednesday afternoons at 1 p.m., join Reverend Gwendolyn Dixon for the Midday Glory Prayer Line. The dial-in number is 641-715-3580. The access code is 732-499. And Wednesday nights at 7 p.m., Challenge to Change, where real transformation begins with you. That's with Pastor Paul Morgan of Chosen Generation Ministries in Richmond, Virginia. On Thursdays, live at 12 noon, join Reverend Pat Randall for Declaring the Finished Work for an hour of worship, exhortation, and prayer. Reverend Ray and friends are here on Friday nights at 7 p.m. with the Joy of the Lord on Friday Night Joy. Sundays at 7 p.m., join Reverend Ray for Bread of Life for a Word in Season. And don't forget our monthly broadcast. First Mondays of every month at 7 p.m., be blessed with the teaching ministry of Apostle Shirley Jones on Lifeline. On third Mondays at 7 p.m., join Evangelist Lewis McElwain for Adoration, a broadcast of worship and ministries on the mission field. Second Saturdays of the month at 10 a.m., join Reverend Curtis, Reverend Novena, and Jordana for Bold and Beautiful, a youth and young adult broadcast setting the world on fire with the love of Jesus. And on fourth Saturdays, Alabaster Box at 7 p.m. with Prophetess Carla Johnson, where she shares a broad range of topics to help believers persevere and overcome. All broadcast times are Eastern Standard Time.
Christian Speak Talk Radio is a non-profit ministry. We are dedicated to spreading the gospel of Jesus through our programs and special guests. We exist through the generous support of our listeners. If you are being blessed through this ministry and would like to give a love offering, go to our website and click on our donation page. Your donation will be processed through PayPal. Our prayer is that you may prosper, be in good health, even as your soul prospers.
When Christians Speak Talk Radio is a 501c3 nonprofit ministry, so all of your gifts to this ministry are tax deductible. So go out to our website, www.whenchristianspeak.com, and click on our donation page.
Oh, give thanks unto God.